Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the Wisconsin On Demand app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube.
Live from Summerfest, it's Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Ben Brust alongside Packer Backer. What's going on, everybody out there? Kyle Wallace is our Packer Backer, Bucks Backer, Wisconsin Backer, the ultimate optimist who still believes the Bucks are a championship contender, which I do not. Brad Nortman, a guy who knows a lot about at least making it to a championship and losing there.
Ooh, sure do.
I believe is probably closer to me than Kyle.
I am. It's been a weird couple of years for the Bucks. I just feel like they're rudderless. I just really don't know what the plan is. You're going all in some areas. Now you're thinking for the future. Makes no sense. Giannis has got to be upset.
And
that's how you got me to where I was. Brad was like, you're continuously swinging a back and forth of like, I'm still trying to figure out what they're doing. And I think Bucks fans are trying to figure out what they're doing, which means the Bucks really don't have a good idea of what they're doing, especially coming off back-to-back years of losing in the first round. There are some things you can talk about with injuries and whatnot, but those are a part of the conversation when you have a roster that is aging and getting older by the day. I don't know how this came up, by the way. But this was fascinating. We got into a heated discussion in our pre-show meeting, a little bit of tension between content director Brian D and producer of Kyle Bruston-Nortman, Alex Stroh.
I walked out. I said, I ain't got time for this. I got other stuff I got to do to me. Listen to two grown men
fellas,
argue. It was tough. It was uncomfortable.
Kyle, don't even. You got to stand for something or you fall for everything, okay?
Hey, I love Hamilton. Wow. Hamilton, I love it.
Yeah, I don't know if you want. I don't know if you want all that energy.
What energy?
Matt Hamilton energy. Next thing you know, you're going
to
turn
into
me.
Referring to Matt Hamilton.
What are you talking
about?
The play.
The play Hamilton.
The play Hamilton.
I haven't seen that
what
one.
What the hell was that?
I'm trying to figure.
Living in the world of ESPN Wisconsin.
What did you mean?
I'm here to run a show.
But wait,
I'm here to talk about what we're supposed to.
But what did you mean? You didn't want that type of energy. What are you talking about?
Just Matt Hamilton energy.
Is he not? Do we not like Matt Hamilton energy?
I don't know.
He works 60% of the time.
He's got great energy at 60%.
You're not far.
Yeah, good energy at 60, but you know,
you're at 80.
I'm 80%.
Yeah,
that's pretty solid. Brett, I'm just gonna say this out loud. How the hell did you come up with this question?
I don't know how this brain works. I really don't. But somehow they just popped in my brain.
Well, tell us what you were. So the way I picture this is Brad Nortman in the Brad Cave coming up with ideas for the show. The presidential debate is on tonight, and it got Brad thinking is the best way I can get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the best conversations come when worlds collide together, and there's no greater collision than politics and sports. I know that the debate is tonight, the first presidential debate between Trump and Biden. It just got me thinking. I was like, you know what? Presidential debate, football. I landed on Aaron Rodgers. And I was thinking to myself, would I rather see Aaron Rodgers as a vice presidential candidate right now or see him playing in the NFL? And guys, the answer to me is easy. I would love to see Aaron Rodgers out of the NFL right now, not because of whatever he is as a quarterback, but it would be pure entertainment if Aaron Rodgers was a vice presidential candidate and he was engaging in debates. Honestly, you know, there's like paywalls through certain games now, like Peacock and Netflix. I would pay to see Aaron Rodgers on stage for a presidential debate more than I would pay to see him play for the New York Jets. Think about the eye rolls that you would get from Aaron Rodgers. Think about the condescending nature. Think about the theatrics that he would give you. He would pull no punches. He wouldn't play their games. It would be absolute entertainment. I'd be sitting back on my couch and just shoveling down the popcorn and the carbless because I would be loving every second of it. I would rather see Aaron Rodgers in a presidential debate than playing quarterback any day of the week.
Brad, we've already seen Aaron Rodgers throw touchdowns. We've seen him tear Achilles on a football field for the New York Jets. But one thing we have not seen is Aaron Rodgers in the debate arena. And I'm telling you, I'm right there with you. That is must see
TV.
Aaron Rodgers, if he had to be part of a vice presidential debate, that would absolutely break all of the debate records. That VP debate would be more entertaining. It would be more watched than the actual presidential debate. And VPs do absolutely nothing. I would love to see Aaron Rodgers
do absolutely nothing.
Love to see him do that. I mean, that would be must-see TV. I can't wait till Aaron Rodgers' career in the NFL is over and he does start flirting with this for real.
You know how, like, sometimes you'll watch something, you do drinking games, like take a drink every time they do this and every time they say that. An Aaron Rodgers drinking game for a vice president would be so funny. Every time he, like, insults the other person, every time he, talks about COVID, whatever it is, I mean, he would not be afraid to go there. He would stir things up, and it would be so entertaining. Give me
conspiracy
Aaron
theories.
Oh man,
I'm all
so funny.
I love the drama.
So good.
Trust me, I'm gonna throw it to Strofe because Strofe, I think you're the only one of us three that would rather watch Aaron Rodgers play football than to laugh your butt off and just, even if you weren't laughing, enjoy the entertainment that he brings
when
he opens his mouth.
If I want to listen to Aaron Rodgers spew hot human garbage, I'll tune into the Joe Rogan podcast or the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday. I've had enough of it.
But to see it on a grand stage with someone else pushing up
against
it.
Yeah, turn on Jeopardy reruns, Brad. I'm over it. I don't want to listen to him. I want to watch him play quarterback because it's the only thing he's actually good at.
No, he would be an exceptional debater.
No,
he wouldn't
be.
He
would not be an excellent debater because debates are about facts. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't speak.
Are you kidding? Have you watched any debates?
Do you know what they do after debates? All they do is fact check and tell people the lie that was told to them.
Did you see that?
Aaron Rodgers is an exceptional liar.
Did you see that tonight? They are not fact checking because both of these individuals that are speaking tonight spew hot garbage. They're literally not fact checking the debate tonight. That's not even a joke.
Fact checking?
That's correct.
Is that for real?
That's for real. I'm not joking.
So we're literally so tonight is about lying to the American public.
Who's the better liar? And Aaron Rodgers is built for that.
Yes, he's a great liar.
Built for that.
Kyle, your line of Aaron Rodgers is an exceptional liar. That is so good.
He
was made for this.
He was made for this, and he's also very witty. And let's not get it confused. Though we
Goody didn't FaceTime me.
Exactly. He can twist different things. Aaron Rodgers is made for this. He would be so entertaining, and I'm telling you, the man is so intelligent. He knows how to poke. He knows how to prod. He knows how to make slick little remarks. And like you said, the facial expressions and the gestures that he makes as well is going to be excellent entertainment. I'm telling y'all, 10 years from now, Aaron Rodgers is going to be some debate stage.
When I would talk to guys that had played for Green Bay and ask them, hey, what's Aaron Rodgers like? This is 2013, 2014.
Brad Nortman, former NFL punter.
So this is like peak, getting to peak Rodgers popularity. And you don't really know. Well, he hasn't evolved into this version he is now. But even then, I'm like, what's he like? They'd say he's really, really smart and sarcastic in ways that you walk away and be like, I think he just insulted me.
Oh.
Like, he is so cutting, so sarcastic, and he can just drop it in there like a martial arts master. I would love to see it on stage. I really would. That would be great.
800-990-3776. Would you rather watch Aaron Rodgers play football or... Agree, the Bucks pick did suck. I will quote the guy walking by at Summerfest as he probably didn't even know what his name was. Hey, what's his name? He just said, I don't know. A.J. Johnson is his name, who the Bucks selected.
I find that quite interesting.
I'm shocked in the poll results, guys. We polled this question. Would you rather see Aaron Rodgers debate or play football?
What are the percentages? You can lead the show.
The percentages are 26% debate, 74% play quarterback. Are we just immune to entertainment, to just be in just...
It's not
there's a reason. There's a reason.
Yes, but Alex quarterback is entertainment.
There's a reason. It is entertainment.
It's very
good. It's fun to watch, but there is a reason why that McAfee was paying him $1 million because he saw his views go up when Aaron Rodgers was going to come on because there was going to be a viral clip, not even about football, when he joined Pat McAfee. He ripped executives of our... Big bosses at ESPN because he does not hold back. And I think there's some – he fits.
Yeah.
He fits the world that Kyle and Brad were talking about. What we are watching tonight – are you guys going
to
watch?
Oh, as part of my job, I have to watch.
Yeah, but if it wasn't part of your job, would you watch?
I would still watch. I find it entertaining.
I'll watch.
I have to.
I'm not going to get anything out of it, but I'll watch.
What I'm going to get out of it is just like – so for you, your snack of choice for debate tonight?
Oh, that's a great question.
Cookies. Yeah.
I'd probably go with Dots pretzels. Dots pretzels in a carb-less. No joke.
Gummy clusters. Have you had the Nerd gummy clusters yet?
I thought you were talking about different kinds
of gummies. I have had those.
They're
me
crap.
Too, Kyle. Me too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ashamed to say that I have had those.
I can't believe you've had. Do you know how much sugar is in those?
Yeah, too much. I can feel it coating my teeth when I eat it.
I know. There's something great about
feeling.
It.
I've no. never. Where do I find these gummy clusters? I've never heard.
In a retailer near you.
Blockbuster.
I mean, no free ads.
Oh, Blockbuster for sure.
That would be a tailor-made Blockbuster.
I'll take a trick there. I can't wait for this debate with Aaron Rodgers one day.
Seriously.
It's got to happen.
He is made
happen.
To be a politician. He is made
to be. Oh, he will be.
Because Kyle said he's a what?
An
exceptional liar.
He will be because the door was already opened by Robert Kennedy, and anybody and everybody can run for president now, and Aaron Rodgers is arrogant enough to believe that he can run and win. You already talking about The Rock talking about running for president. Mark Cuban talking about running for president. You think Aaron Rodgers ain't going to dip his toe into that?
Do you think Rodgers will skip VP and go right to president when he's done playing football? Right to president.
2032, Aaron Rodgers will be running for president.
I'm curious if we...
You're not even thinking...
I'm on the wrong station.
You don't think the next one?
I'm on the wrong station. I was just going to ask. I'm curious when we actually have more than, like, two people at a shot at the presidential election. You know?
It'll be a nice change of pace, honestly.
It won't be, because it will just still be three more idiots.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
If we're talking the way we are right now.
Well, how about this? You got to be 34. 40, no, you gotta be 35 or
35. Yeah,
I'll run for president in 2028. How about that?
You'll run for president?
Do I got your vote?
I want to hear your policy.
Everybody gets Fridays off. How about that?
Oh, put her there, buddy. Put her there.
Brad, you had a career where you had like 8 days off every day of your life.
And it was wonderful.
Every practice, all you do is punt the football and maybe run a couple laps.
And I know, and I could get used to that lifestyle again. I'm not used to working full time. I guess I used to have months off at a time. I'm not used to working.
If I'm president, you're going to take your
Well, the presidential music's going. Kyle Walls, the floor is yours.
Well, let me tell y'all this right now. Our country is struggling. We have different things, and we almost were saved, but then Aaron Rodgers decided not to save us, but decided to save the New York Jets. So, unfortunately, we'll have to struggle
for
another 4 years.
Rodgers was going to save us?
Rodgers, he saved the Green Bay Packers, and he made a young Kyle Wallace so happy, and he's now going to try to save the New York Jets and make them so happy. But in 2028, I'm telling you this right now, I'm putting my hat in the ring. It will be a Rodgers-Wallace ticket in 2028 for president. And I'm telling you this now, if you love my takes here, wait till you hear my takes out the Oval Office. 2028, Rodgers Wallace straight
to D.C. Does
the
vice president go to the Oval Office?
Oh, yeah, they do. They get their own house out there, too.
Yeah. Vice president's the way to go.
Yeah, sure? Honest, you went right? to the White House. You were disappointed in it.
Oh, it was much.
Kyle's gonna revamp it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your tax dollars will revamp that place.
Yeah. A remodel.
But it definitely will, because it's a little old and outdated.
Oh, they're going ways that I don't even know where they're going anyway. So, joining us next is Jason Wilde. We'll get it back on track and talk to Jason about all things Green Bay Packers. And the NBA draft, according to Alex Strofe, starts at 3:15. The Bucks should be on the clock right after Jason Wilde. So, we'll have some news on the Green Bay Packers and the second-round pick of the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm Kyle Bruston-Nortman, live from Summerfest next.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN.
Student-Athlete Support Fund is something I was looking at. I'm ultimately likely going to give to the I was in life
long week
on ESPN Wisconsin and wisconsinondemand.com.
So tell me now, do you want it? Cuz these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm that cry for you. And every Saturday night that you ain't keep my tears blow.
Joining Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde. Good to see Jason on the video streams across our offices and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. He's back, and he's joining Kyle Bruston-Nortman live from Summerfest. Jason, how are you?
I'm great. How's Summerfest?
It's awesome. It's a beautiful day outside right now. Hoping the weather holds off tomorrow for the third annual Alumni Charity Challenge from the Gruber Law Office of Sports Zone. So, great day so far.
As a proud Badger alum, I have to ask, have we upgraded our roster, or are you still on it?
Hey now. Yeah. I made the furthest in the twos, threes, and threes. We have, as the Badger team, won the last 2 years, but you'd be happy to hear, Jason, I have added a ringer to the team, none other than Kirk Penny.
Kirk Penny!
Yes, very good.
I Yeah, good. Very good addition. Michael Finley was not available.
I tried, did not get to him. He was too busy stealing beers from Luka Doncic.
Helping Luka not drink beer on camera was how I would describe that. But yeah, well, good luck to you. Who are you going up against from Marquette, Green Bay, and Milwaukee?
So Milwaukee's a lot of guys that I know that are my age. Austin Arians, Cody Wickman, some local Wisconsin guys there. Steve Novak, obviously, from Marquette. No Travis Diener this year. Novak struggled in his own game. Yeah, for sure. So I feel good about it. But I do want to ask you this question, Jason. Because I went to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, and I was looking at futures, right? And we talk about this all the time. The way that we view in this state, talk about, hear from fans about the Green Bay Packers may be different than people outside of the state or in the national media look at the Green Bay Packers. Dan Orlovsky joined Wildian Tausch this week, called the Packers a Tier 2 NFL team. So when I see the over-under for the Packers wins at 9.5, knowing that you have the state of the Packers coming up, which I look forward to listening to on a Summerfest Saturday, do you think 9.5 wins is a good spot to have that line? And when are I mean, you don't have to tell us now because you usually give what you predict the Packers win total will be on Saturday. But like, see what I'm getting at? Like, are we too bullish on the Packers?
Well, there's two questions there, Benjamin. One about the line of 9.5, and I would say unless they suffer catastrophic injuries this season, I would go over on that and do it fairly confidently. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win 14 games or 15 games or even 13 games. I think they're 11 or 12 win teams. And
okay,
so I am a little surprised that number is 9.5 because it's basically a referendum on will they win 10 games or not. And I would say they will. They won 9 last year and they started 2-5. And their quarterback was not very good. And then the second half of the season, obviously, we saw what he did. I don't see him regressing to a point where if they are healthy, this team is going to be less than a 10-win team. Now, I'm not predicting they're going to win the Super Bowl just yet. I do believe it's a process to get better, like Brad Pitt says in Moneyball. But I'm a little surprised how low that number is, frankly. Now, on the flip side of that, I don't know if – I do think we're probably a little more bullish on them than perhaps the outside world. But, my Lord, if I hear any more of how star-spangled awesome Jordan Love is, he may not get a big head, but I might. Just from, like – the reflective glory, like it's just, you know, if you turn on ESPN television, whether it's Dan Orlovsky, who, you know, not only said it on our show when I wasn't there, but also said it on television a bunch, or Mike Tannenbaum, who has said it both on our show and on national television. Everyone is, you know,
Mina Kimes said he's that dude.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I get it. You know, I'm really fortunate in this job that no one really requires me to be Mr. Heavily opinionated hot take guy. I think I've been fortunate to settle into a place with GKB where people understand that when I do have a strong opinion, it has a greater impact because it is not like I'm throwing out opinions left and right all the time. And so I pick my spots, and I appreciate that because these other folks, they have to have stuff that's compelling, right? And they got to get people talking, and especially, you know, whether it's on Get Up or on First Take, that's kind of the culture of that commentary. And for me, you know, like when we get together on Saturday at Summerfest to do the State of the Packers, you know, I do think it's important to keep things in perspective. And so when I look at this team, maybe I'm too close to it, but yeah, I think we have a pretty high opinion of this team and of this quarterback. But I would be curious, and I don't have the time to do this, so Strofe's got nothing going on. He can go back. I would love to see what the conversation was about Jalen Hurts after the 2022 season, in which he played great in his third year in the league. Obviously, his second year as the starter in Philly. Went to a Super Bowl, got a big contract. And then last year, if you look, I think his passer rating in 2022 was 101.5, and last year was like 89.5 or something.
Oh, he regressed.
That. He went from throwing, you know, only six picks to throwing like 13 or something like that. I don't have his numbers in front of me. My point is that I don't think Jordan Love is immune to that. And I feel like everyone is talking him up to such a degree that we're not allowing him the possibility of, hey, maybe there are some ebbs and flows and some ups and downs in his development. The girls hear me all the time talking about how growth is not linear. So if you have a bad basketball practice or a bad gymnastics practice, that's why it's so important to put it behind you and think about the next play or the next event or whatever it is, because you're not perfect. And improvement is not always a straight line. Very rarely is it a straight line. And so Jordan Love improved a ton. He kind of broke that mold because it was mostly a straight line last year. But he didn't play well against the Giants. And we don't talk about that game. And that was late in the season, right? Mm. So I think it's possible to both view them as a almost certain 10-11 win team and view Jordan Love as a very good young quarterback. But I think we have to give at least a little bit of grace and a little bit of acknowledgement to the possibility that there could still be some tough times. It's not going to be clear sailing from where Jordan is now to winning MVPs and going to Super Bowls. And that stuff is really hard, and the other guys get paid too. And I feel a little bit like we're getting a little carried away both with him and with what this team could accomplish.
Jason, you talked about getting carried away with Jordan Love, and we kind of talked about that as well earlier during the week. How do you think Jordan Love will handle this additional limelight, right? You talked about all the people on, you know, national television talking about he's the sexy pick to be this great, you know, next quarterback up. But he also is going to have a lot of money in front of him. Do you think he can really handle this type of pressure of being in the limelight and, on top of that, being seen as one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, it's a good question, Kyle. And look, I don't pretend to know Jordan as well as I have known other players throughout my time covering the team. That said, I would think that, you know, I don't want to speak for anybody else who covers the team, but I probably spent more time talking with him outside the interview construct than some of the other guys have. And I will say this. He definitely strikes me as the kind of guy that is not going to get too big for his britches, is not going to have his ego overinflate, and is going to be an arrogant guy who thinks he knows everything. I don't get that. If there was a reason that he would struggle from a mental perspective, it's not because he has gotten complacent or thinks he arrived. I would think that if there is any mental component to him struggling, it would be him trying extremely hard to justify his huge contract he's going to get. And I remember having this conversation with Randall Cobb after, you know, he had that 2014 season where he was just he had over 90 catches. I mean, he was fantastic. And it was a contract year because he had been a 2011 second-round pick. So he has a great contract year, gets paid big-time dough. And then during the 15 season, he dealt with injuries, but he also dealt with the level of his conscientiousness of wanting to justify that the team spent its money wisely on him. And I remember talking to him about how much of a burden that was for him, that he just really wanted to say, hey, you guys paid me this, and I want to prove that I was worth it. And if there would be any, and I'm not saying that Jordan is going to do that, to be clear, I don't know that by any stretch. certainly. But if there were to be a pressure component, I don't think it would be the pressure of, oh, I'm the highest paid quarterback in the league, or oh, I'm just so star-spangled awesome. I think it would be, I need to justify these guys putting this kind of faith and trust and financial commitment on me.
Jason, Jordan Love, I think it was like the middle of OTA practices, maybe like end of May, said something to the effect of, this is the closest team that he's been on since he was been on the Green Bay Packers in 2020, and they had some good teams starting in that year. Do you sense that there's a unique closeness amongst the players in this team, or is that Jordan Love just kind of saying that they're a good team, they like each other?
I wouldn't be dismissive of it, Brad. First of all, I don't think he speaks in hyperbole. So when he says that, I think he means it. And that's another reason why I don't think the expectations or all the nice things that are being said about him or the big contract are going to derail him. It's because he's really even-keeled and really grounded. Like, he's not an emotional roller coaster guy. But when he talks about that closeness, look, and again, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl because of this, but they made a very concerted effort to just go young in a huge way. I saw Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated had a stat the other day that the San Francisco 49ers have 20 players on their roster that have had their 30th birthday. Packers have one, Preston Smith. And the fact that that is, like, Brad, you know this from playing in the league. Like, if they're, even on good teams, and you were on some good teams, even on good teams, there is a disparity in the connectivity between players because of just age or where you're at in life. You know, you and Lexi are single, and you're on the cover of that Charlotte magazine or whatever the heck it was.
B-52 bump.
Another guy on your team is, you know, a 36-year-old veteran with three kids, and he's been married for 15 years. And, like, you guys are just at different points in your lives, right? And so the connectivity,
very true,
just by the nature of where you're at in your life, is not the same. Well, these guys, like, you know, a few of them got engaged or married during the offseason, right? I know Christian Watson got engaged. We obviously saw Jordan Love's trip to Tuscany. I know Tucker Kraft got married. Like, they're all kind of in that same life window, especially on offense.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that lends itself to a much greater level of connectivity, because it's basically like being with all your college buddies, right? Like, you get to UW as a freshman, you're probably not hanging out with a bunch of fifth-year seniors as a regular student. Now, I may have had a former tennis great and UW Athletic Hall of Famer who lived up above me my sophomore year, who may have helped me get into an occasional watering hole without an ID because I wasn't old enough yet, because he was so popular on campus. I won't say his name, but it rhymes with Jack Waits. And then I think that there's, you know, there's a connection eventually with those older types. But when you first get to campus, you don't know the upperclassmen. And that's the same way with this team. They just don't have that many upperclassmen to not connect with.
It's well said.
Jason Wilde, really quick before we let you go. We were talking about, like, again, because everyone's so bullish, like, if there's something that worries you about Jordan from a football standpoint heading into next year, what would you point to? I think Brad pointed to, we're nitpicky here, right? Throwing the ball to receivers so they can catch and continue to run, not like floating passes that are open, like hitting them on a dime. What stands out to you in his development?
Well, first of all, are you new here? Really quick. I don't know if I've ever done an answer really quick in all my time. But I will try to be brief, and I'll say this. My concern is actually not Jordan Love. It's nothing that Jordan Love can do. It's just how he's going to respond to something that other teams are going to do. And, you know, I heard Jeff Levering talking about this during the Brewers telecast on TV the other day. Like, the second pitcher they had who went like five or six innings when they did the opener deal. You know, he was going through the Rangers batting order for the third time. Might have been two nights ago. And how that those hitters now have a much better read on him. Well, guess what? This is going to be Jordan Love's second time through the NFL and second time through the NFC North with three opponents who saw him twice last year. So my if there's one thing that I would be concerned about if I were a Packers fan about Jordan Love's development is these teams are going to come ready. He is not going to surprise anyone. No one's going to be, oh, this guy looks nothing like the guy we saw against the Chiefs or the guy that we saw in preseason. He's accurate. He's throwing in rhythm. He's not the guy he was the first seven games of the season. I would say that there's going to be a lack of surprise element and a level of preparation that defensive coordinators will have for him that will allow them to do some things in hopes of throwing him off much better than defenses did during the second half of last season.
Jason, well put. We appreciate the time and look forward to hearing you on the State of the Packers.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch. Kyle Brusenorman live from Summerfest. The Milwaukee Bucks second-round pick is in. Tyler Smith, Summerfest singer or a Milwaukee Bucks draft pick? That's next.
This is Kyle Brusenorman.
DKB, they get all my love, all my energy, and all my time. I'll be danged if GKB and Craig not going to allow me to take my half an hour boo-boo. If I need to do they need to allow
that's
me to do that.
That's your whole lunch break.
I don't even take a lunch break. I work during lunch.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
With the 33rd pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Tyler Smith from Houston, Texas, and the NBA G League's Team Ignite.
Well, if you like the pick of Tyler Smith and A.J. Johnson, the most bland names of all time, well, go to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Place your future on the 2030 Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Or if you like the over-under of 9.5 of the Green Bay Packers, like Homer and Jason do, which is not an endorsement, they just said they like that. Over if they were betters. You can go to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel with a 20-minute reserve parking space so you can place your bets. A 2,000-square-foot video wall, a full bar, a kitchen. You don't have to like betting. You can just watch all the games possible at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Paysbig.com. You will love the sports book. Go check it out. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman here with you. We just played Tyler Smith, the 2024 second-round draft pick of the Milwaukee Bucks, a 19-year-old, 6'9". Seems like more of the type of player that Brad was looking for in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that's long, lanky, athletic, and he actually put up some numbers and was one of the stars of his team in the G League, so take that for what it's worth. But young guys that I figured a guy like this can be a long, rangy wing in a couple of years, but you know, instead they went with the Black Alex Strofe as a result. I should probably put that one away.
No, you're good.
He is the Black Alex Strofe specifically because he's 6'4" and he's 162 pounds, just like our Alex Strofe. He's just a lot more athletic. I'm with you on top. But listen, Brad, John Horse was listening to our show yesterday.
He was
doing his scouting. He did all the scouting. He said, I wonder what those boys from KBN are thinking about. And he listened to you make your argument. He listened to me make my argument, and he listened to Ben make his argument. And he said, you know what? I'm going with the smartest dude on the panel. I am following what Brad Nortman is telling me to do, and he has drafted two teenage kids who are not going to contribute to the basketball team until 2026 for the future for Giannis. So he listened to you, Brad. Bravo. Well, you should be an NBA GM.
And quickly, for some local news here, per Adrian Wojnarowski, the Knicks are sending the Blazers a future second-round pick for Tyler Kolek, the Marquette Golden Eagle at number 34 in the draft. What well, after the Bucks?
How about that? I mean, well, what it tells me about the Milwaukee Bucks is, one, John Horst clearly believes that this core of veterans, that they got enough to win an NBA championship. If not, he'd be supplementing it. So he is telling me that, you know what, if the dudes just do what they're supposed to do and stay healthy, we got a shot. That's the present. And about the future, it's telling me that they think it's bleak, and they need to start refilling the cupboard ASAP.
No, John Horst got something up his sleeve. There has to be something
you
up his
so?
Sleeve. There has to be, because there's no way you look at this
you got to tell me what you think that would be, though.
I don't know, but based off the decisions that they made today.
But you should be able to have an idea based off what they have and the limited amount of assets they have to move.
Somebody, whether it's Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, or Brooke Lopez, I don't think they will move Dame yet. They got something up their sleeve where they feel like they are going to make a move in order to bring somebody in that can impact this roster. Because you know what they don't have? They don't have a backup point guard whatsoever on this roster.
Backup point guards, they need a starting five that can contribute right away. I don't need backup point guards. That's why trick up the sleeve is not a backup point guard. Brooke ain't going to get you something, in my opinion, that's going to be like, we got this for Brooke. We're winning a championship. The C word is all that matters. Championship. Championship, as Homer would say.
They know something. There's no way in the world you're drafting two 19-year-olds and thinking you're going to run it back with a roster that was hobbled in the playoffs. Your best two players were injured when you needed them the most. You had to lean on a guy that has had an injury history the last 2 years. If this is the roster that we're running back with these old dudes, then you guys are right. Maybe they aren't a championship competitor.
Well, we talked a little bit about the presidential debate, and our guy, Alex Strofe, our producer, put up the ticket and slogan for Wallace Rogers 2032, the ticket they'll be running. And if I'm watching Wallace and Rogers on a presidential debate, I'm putting some screaming Sicilian pizza in, and I'm going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the comedy and the food, because screaming Sicilian pizza is so amazing, whether that be the OG screamings, the thin and crispy, the tavern style, or the 2.5 feet of stuffed crust cheese. Boss Hog, my absolute favorite right now. Just a classic sausage with all the toppings of sausage you could have on a pizza, which makes it delicious. The Holy Pepperoni, Bessie's Revenge is the cheese pizza, the Ultimate Deluxe. Strofe, put your camera on and start dancing. You got the Supremus Maximus, and you know one of my all-time favorites is the Mambo Italiano.
Mambo!
Yeah, the delay hurts the Mambo there. But find your screaming pleasure and taste what all the screaming is about. Kyle Wallace had an interesting start to his day at the car shop. We'll tell you what happened, and it was interesting. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
When I'm, again, doing the Pack Arena, and as a shareholder, when I'm sizing up my ring,
Right now.
One pack of two, pack of three, pack of arena.
Hey.
What's the rest of the words? Jordan loves the Christian Watson. Hey, that's a touchdown.
That on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Right in between all of us, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay. It's just easy to get to wherever you are, and it's a great time. Kids 16 and under getting free with a paying adult at the gate. Up next is the Trans Am Speed Tour at Road America, June 28th through the 30th. That's this weekend, folks. Get your tickets today at roadamerica.com. Make sure when you're going to go to Road America, you camp out. Get your spot reserved. It's an amazing time. You're going to wake up and have brats for breakfast, burgers for lunch, hot dogs for dinner, and steaks for dessert. You can do whatever you want. You can have a great time. Bring your booze in. Hit the family fun zone. I'm telling you, rent the golf carts. You can drive around and enjoy the wonderful experience of America's National Park of Speed. RoadAmerica.com for tickets today. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman with you live from Summerfest. 800-990-3776 for UKB and Nation to get into the show. Kyle, you had an interesting morning. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I had quite the interesting morning. Well, your boy needed to get an oil change, so I called the local mechanic, and I said, hey, I need an oil change. They said, we got you at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. I said, bada boom, bada bang, that's great. So I show up, and I drive in front where, you could just drive right in, and it'll get your keys, and it'll drive right in and put it on the elevated machine. I don't know what it's called, but
it's called the bay.
Oh, it's called the bay? Well, yes, they drive the car right on the bay to lift it up. And so I walked through the garage and started sitting there, and I got to working. While I was working there inside their sitting area, minding my own business, a customer came in. Nobody was around. The customer stood there, looked at me. I looked at her. She looked at me. I went back to typing in my computer. And then 5 minutes go by, and she's still standing there. And you know when you're standing somewhere, and we talked about it earlier this week.
Brad went through this at the USPS.
Exactly. Sure you did. You start looking around, so maybe somebody sees you. Well, what she did is she looked through the window to see if somebody in the mechanic shop could see her, to no avail, and she waited for about three more minutes, and what did she do?
She went right in the shop.
She walked out. She left.
Shoot.
She left, and then I'm gonna get to my story at the end of the point. And then the guy came in about 2 minutes later. He said, "Was somebody in here?" I said, "Yeah," but she walked out. He said, "Oh," and he tried to go catch her. And I'm like, "Yeah, man, you should have had a bell." But then
a bell.
And then another lady came in, and she wasn't as patient as this other lady. She waited for 5 minutes. She looked at me. I looked at her. She said, "Is anybody here?" I said, "Yeah, I think they're back there." So she goes, looked at the door. She says, "It says employees only." I say, "Ma'am, I walked in through that door. I think you should go that way." She said, "I'll try it." And you know, by the time that she opened the door, she was frustrated because nobody had helped her. And she opened the door and she said, "Is anybody working?" They said, yeah, here we come. She closes the door. They take a couple minutes to come out. She's frustrated. Now they're arguing back and forth about, "I work in customer service, and I know what it's supposed to look like." And the thing is, and I'm thinking in myself, I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, you know, this could all been solved by simply having a bell.
Wow.
If they had a bell, they would would be able to multitask. But instead, if we went the Bradley Nordman route where he thinks a bell is rude, no, a bell actually saves companies from having bad customer service.
And losing business.
And that woman stormed out of there, and the first woman ain't coming back either. And I just sat there saying,
so they lost two customers.
They lost two customers today.
And you looked at them, and they looked at you,
Listen, I was good. I was like, I don't work here, but, you know, if you ask me a question, I try to help. And to let you guys know, I also took a picture, and I'm sure we can probably share it if you want to, on social media. I took a picture of it. I mean, all the people had to do, if they had a bell, they would be able to hear the ding-ding, and the people could have came and helped
them. Yeah, but I don't even know if the ding-ding in this situation would have mattered. Ooh. Because when she popped her head and says, "Is anybody there?" "Yeah, we'll be right there." You still said it took 2 minutes for them to come out.
Yeah, it took reflective of the auto shot.
I don't know if a bell's saving that.
At least a bell gets her to get attention. And then she said, they say, "Hey, we'll be right out. Give us 2 minutes." But after somebody has already waited 8 minutes, they have reached the point of no return. Exactly. But a ding-ding bell gets you away from reaching the point of no return, because now you know you at least get acknowledged.
Who would have thought that the elitist serve me bell has a real purpose? If anything, maybe the bell above the door is the right thing to do. So that means when you walk in, it hits the bell and it dings, and you don't feel like, "Hey, I'm over here, serve me," but also it alerts the employees there.
So
yeah, look at that.
See, there's a lot of windows too to be seen.
The funny thing is when I think about the bell, I do think of it as like a little bit of elitist.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
I remember I had surgery. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
I remember I had surgery my junior year of high school on my ankle. And when I came out of anesthetics, you're a little bit loopy, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I remember saying to my parents, I was like, "You know, like, we're going to need one of those bells for me to be dinging, so if I need something, you guys can take care of me."
I mean, that it would help, because nobody wants to be staring at you laying in bed for hours and hours. A ding-ding, a bell, helps everybody. Bells save the world.
Bells?
That's a little bit far for my taste buds, but it feels like I'm bringing a butler every time I do it.
Why do you think
good to know that it's useful.
Police have sirens, firefighters have sirens, all because it's an alert, people, of moving out the way or come give me attention.
Well, on 100.5 ESPN, in 2 minutes, you will have Rutledge and Hamilton. We are with you live at Summerfest. Kyle Bruster-Nortman till 5 o'clock, leading into the Homer Hour. So don't go anywhere. You got a lot. We've been playing Summerfest or Strofe has that game ready to go, just because we love it so much and playing with all of UKBN Nation. That's coming up. Brian Balaga joining us later. Don't go anywhere. Kyle Bruster-Nortman live from Summerfest. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Give them all your money. Radio plays what they want you to hear.